On behalf of Kim and our family, want to thank you for this kind expression of your love for us, and again, just for the love that you show us all during the year. This has been, for our family, a difficult year in many ways, and as I look out and I see many people out here who have also experienced many difficulties this past year, but we're thankful for the faithfulness of God, and in His faithfulness and His grace, He has been so good to bless our family with this family. And we thank the Lord so much for you and your love for us, your care for us, particularly as Kim's dad went to be with the Lord this year, and Josh and Danielle lost their baby, and other things with Kim's health and things that we've experienced. The Lord is good in every situation, and we know that, and it's a joy to learn to lean on Him even more as we go through the difficulties that He allows into our lives. He knows the purposes that He has. So thank you for loving us through this year, through all the ups and downs, and we appreciate you and love every one of you and are just so blessed to be able to serve the Lord here in this local assembly. What a blessing it is. And as we get ready to transition from 2010 into 2011, and just wanted to share a few thoughts with you this evening from the Scripture, as we do each year and have done for many years in this local assembly. I was thinking about that saying that you often hear in business and in other settings: you don't get a second chance to make a first impression. As I think about that, what came to my mind is, what is the first impression people would have as they come to visit here at one of the meetings at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel? I think the Lord has blessed us over the past few years with a number of visitors who've come in, particularly on Sunday mornings. Some of those, we thank the Lord, have been led by Him to stay here and be in fellowship with us. Others have gone on to other places, other things in their lives. But I often wonder, and sometimes when I get a chance, I try to ask people, you know, what did you think? What was your experience? What was your perception of this local assembly when you were here? Of course, you can't always tell when you go and visit a group of people for one time, really what that group of people's like. But it is interesting to know and to reflect, I guess, to imagine what it is that people do experience. And not only what is their first impression, but maybe more importantly, what is the sense of those people who come in and remain among us and fellowshipping here with us? What is their sense? I think about the idea of atmosphere. Now, when I talked about the first impression, we could think of many different things and go in many different directions, many of which are very important and very vital and things that we hold to very strongly here. But the one thing that I was reflecting on is, do people, when they come to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel and spend some time with us, do they sense an atmosphere of love? Of love. Each year, the elders pray and discuss one area where we can emphasize as an assembly corporately in the coming year. Many of you will have New Year's resolutions or goals or things that you're really going to work on, focus on in your life, maybe in your marriage, in your family. But as an assembly, we like to do the same thing, and that in no way minimizes anything else, just an area that is on our hearts. And if you have your Bible, or if you want to take the pew Bible, or if you just want to listen, I want to read a couple of verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians is a letter to a local church there in Thessalonica in modern-day Europe, in Greece. And when this letter was written, The recipients in this local church are often held up today by many Bible teachers, and those who are just reading the Bible and learning are held up as somewhat of a model local church in many ways. Not perfect at all, but in many ways a model local church. And as I was reading through and reflecting on this thought of love, I was drawn to this prayer that Paul had for the Thessalonian believers, and it's found in chapter 3 of 1 Thessalonians. It begins in verse 11, and we've seen some of Paul's prayers this past year in studying the book of Ephesians, and here he prays for the believers in Thessalonica. There in verse 11 of chapter 3, he says, "Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Think about Paul praying that prayer for those Christians. And as we think about that prayer, probably most, if not all, of the elders of this local assembly are reminded of the prayer of one of our fellow elders, my dad, Harvey Shelley, and for a number of years, one of his faithful prayers is that this would be an assembly of love. And as elders, we've joined together in that prayer for several years now, that this would be an assembly of love. And that's really the theme that we'd like to emphasize this year. An assembly of love. And as I look at this text, these verses here, just some things come out to me that I want to share with you briefly as we end one year and go into the next year concerning being an assembly of love. Being an assembly of love requires that we love dependently. He says there, as he begins verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love." The Lord make you. You know, we cannot do this on our own. As individuals, even as a group together, we're not able to truly love in the way that God desires us to love without Him. And the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:19 that we love because He loved us first. And God is love. And the only way that we're truly going to be able to be an assembly of love in the way that God desires that for us is that if we depend on Him, if we look to Him and we pray as Paul did, "Lord, You make us an assembly of love. Lord, You do that. We yield to You. We want to do our parts. We want to be faithful. But Lord, we're depending. We want to love dependently." And then we see, secondly, that being an assembly of love requires that we love increasingly. It says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love." Later in this letter, he writes to them and he says, "I don't need to teach you to love one another because you've already been taught that by God." But his challenge to them there in chapter 4 is the same challenge he has here, and that's that they would love more, that their love and them corporately loving as an assembly of love would increase and abound, that it would grow, that it would overflow. That's God's desire as He looks down toward us, getting ready to head into a new year, that our love would not only be full, but it would be full to overflowing. We see also that if we're going to be an assembly of love, it requires that we love broadly. He says, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." You know, the love that God desires for us to have, that agape love that He has, is a love that goes beyond self. You know, we're focused on ourselves. That's human nature. Our culture encourages that, to focus on self. But Paul desired for those believers 2,000 years ago in the first century to look beyond themselves and to love, first of all, one another. There's a lot of information in the New Testament about loving each other. And, you know, as we love the Lord who loves us, He desires that that love would flow out from us toward one another, toward other believers in the Lord Jesus. And if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin because He died on the cross for you and rose again, and you've been born again into the family of God, then every other believer is another one like you. Different, but yet we're all of one. And we're to love one another. And He said, I don't want you only to love one another. I want that love you have for each other to grow and grow. And that's the blessing that we're looking for this year. Because like the church at Thessalonica, the church at Shannon Hills is an assembly of love. That prayer has been answered. And we see that in so many ways. And everyone here hopefully has experienced that. But we want that to grow as the Lord wants that to grow. And not only that we would love one another more and more, but that we would even go beyond that. And as Paul prayed for them, that their love would increase and abound toward all men. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And He wants us to love. And He wants our love to be a broad love. We'll talk about this more Sunday morning. I'd like to expound on it more. And I'd like to look particularly at the question that was asked of the Lord Jesus concerning loving others. And that question was, who is my neighbor? When He was told to love your neighbor as yourself, the man said, who is my neighbor? And that's a question that we would like to answer during this year. Who is my neighbor? Who is it that God desires and demands that I love and that we love? And we'd like to, every month of this year, emphasize a different group of people that God shows us He would have us to love, and that we might be challenged to love one another more broadly. And also love outside, even of our own comfort zones, as we'll see more on Sunday morning. And then fourthly, if we're going to be an assembly of love in 2011, it requires that we love deeply. You know, Paul holds up a high standard. He says, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. And Paul held himself up in his love for them. And he hadn't known them that long. He hadn't spent that much time with them that we can tell. But he loved them. And he had evidenced his love to them. And we need to love deeply. And that's how Paul loved them. And his love for them was seen in his sacrificial actions. Let me just read a little bit for you from chapter 2. Verse 7, he says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. Paul said, we gave you our lives. We sacrificed. We loved you deeply. And that's what the desire of the elders is this year for this assembly, that the depth of our love would increase more and more as this year goes on. Paul demonstrated the depth of his love by the sacrificial nature of his actions. Love is not a feeling, though that may be a part of it. Love is action. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And finally, that being an assembly of love requires that we love purposely. He tells us the reason, the purpose that he is challenging them to do this through his prayer. He said, to the end that the Lord may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Paul said, I want you to understand that your love for each other and your love beyond each other, reaching out into the highways and byways and in every part of this world, that your love for others impacts not only your life now, but your eternal reward. And we know that salvation is a gift. It's not of works, Paul says, lest anyone should ever boast. It's a gift of God. But we know that once we come to the Lord Jesus in faith and we are born again and we are made new and given a new nature as new creations, we know that we have that ability to love because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, and God desires us to use that we might one day be rewarded for what God has done through us. Again, all of grace. But he said, I want you to have your heart established, blameless in holiness before God at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. As we transition from 2010 to 2011, we're transitioning from the theme of not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together to the idea of increasing and abounding in love. I think these two tie in very nicely together. When I love someone, I want to be with them. I love my wife, and I love to be with her. In a different way, I love you, and I love to be with you, and I want to be with you. And we hope that that love for one another will translate into an even greater desire to be together with the people of God and grow together in knowing the Lord Jesus. An assembly of love. Seeking to answer that question, who is my neighbor? If I'm to love my neighbor as myself, who is that? We're going to go to prayer now as we go into the midnight hour. Just give you a moment to pray quietly in your own heart. And as we go into the new year, I'll bring us in prayer together. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you that we can quote that scripture that God loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Father, we thank you for the truth of your love and how you demonstrate it so clearly in many ways, but particularly in the giving of your Son, the Lord Jesus, who went to Calvary and died for us, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you for raising him from the dead. Thank you for the love that you put in our hearts for him. And Father, for your people as well, I thank you for these ones who are here tonight. Father, we thank you that we have a love that comes from you, a love for each other and a love for others. And Father, we thank you for this assembly of love and how we desire in the coming year that our love would increase and abound. Lord, that it would be even deeper and broader. Father, that it would be more purposeful. That it will be fully dependent on you. Father, that we will act in faith, trusting you, and will allow you to do mighty works in our hearts, that you will challenge us, Lord, whatever is an obstacle to us truly loving others. We pray that you will expose that to us in this year. And Father, help us to come before you in repentance and faith. Father, I pray that as we go into this year, I thank you, Lord, that you know the need of every life. Father, you know the struggles, you know the problems, you know the issues, you know the joys. Father, you know what we need, and we just lean on you fully as we commit ourselves individually and as families and as a local assembly, Father, into your hands, to this new year into which you have brought us now, 2011. And we thank you so much in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.